Now, space experts here at USQ have got to wait now for a couple more days for the launch of NASA's latest planet-hugging spacecraft. It's out there. Well, it's going to be out there soon. The powerful telescope was meant to be launched from Florida this morning, but last-minute safety concerns have forced a postponement. So once the mission is back on track, if planets are discovered outside our solar system, that's when University of Southern Queensland professor in astronomy, Dr. Johnny Horner, and his team will swing into action. And we have him on the line. Good morning, Dr. Horner.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. We've got Ben here to talk to you as well.
Hiya.
Yep.
So, Professor Horner, what is the telescope and how significant is it?
Well, it's the successor to the very famous and incredibly successful observatory called Kepler that NASA launched nearly a decade ago now. Kepler was this telescope that looked at one patch of the night sky for 4 years continuously without blinking, looking for planets around other stars. And it essentially did the first census of what I call the exoplanet era. It went out there and tried to get a feel for what kind of planets are out there, how common planets are. And TESS is the successor, where Kepler just looked at one patch of the night sky. TESS is going to look at the entire night sky over a period of 2 years. Again, doing that kind of census work, trying to find as many planets as possible to inform our understanding of whether the Earth's unique, whether the solar system's unusual, and to let us know what kind of planets are out there. And the big exciting thing for us, aside from our own involvement in it, is that TESS is going to start for the first year by looking at the southern hemisphere sky. So in other words, once it's up there, in a couple of days' time, hopefully, once it's gone through all of the preparation getting into its orbit, which will take a couple of months, it's then going to start looking at the stars that if you go out tonight and it's clear, you will see yourselves with your own eyes. TESS is going to be finding planets around stars that we can see from our backyards every night of the year.
So does this telescope, or the satellite, I should say, sorry, is it important because of its different orbiting pattern? So Kepler orbited the sun. Is there a difference of that, the fact that this TESS satellite, it's orbiting the Earth? Is that a difference? Is that important?
It isn't really. I mean, TESS is having a strategy where it pans around the sky and looks at different bits of the sky over time. So we can afford to have it in orbit around the Earth and just move around when the Earth will get in the way, essentially. For Kepler, because Kepler wanted to stare at one patch of the night sky continually, we couldn't have it in orbit around the Earth. It'd be moving around too much. It'd maybe get the moon in the way, stuff like that. So we needed to cast it free, cut it loose, let it sail the interplanetary sea on its own. With TESS, it's going to be looking at one strip of the night sky, which is about 90 degrees long, so from the pole down to the equator, essentially, for 27 days. Then it's going to rotate around a little bit and look at the next strip for 27 days. Then it'll rotate around and look at the next strip for 27 days. So it doesn't need to be insulated from the Earth. It can be quite happily going around in this quite elongated orbit doing that work. It's a lot easier for us to control. And the thing is, with it being nearer to the Earth, it means we can get a higher bandwidth and we can get more data back for it.
Sure.
That's a really key point. Because it's nearer, it can shout louder and we can hear it better.
So is the main difference between the Kepler telescope and the TESS telescope that the TESS telescope is going to study multiple patches? Is that really the big difference between the two?
There's a couple of things. I mean, technology has moved on. So TESS has got a wider field of view, which means it can see a bigger patch of the sky at any given time. In fact, TESS has four cameras that span that 90-degree arc that are each 24 by 24 degrees. Each of those cameras individually is about four times bigger than the area that Kepler could look at. So we're really looking at a factor of 16, factor of 20, even more, bigger field of view. That's one point. The other thing is that it can observe with a higher cadence. What I mean by that is it can get more images in the same amount of time, and that means we get better data, better results. And it's partially, like I said, the result of technology improving and the result of this being built for a different spec for a different mission.
Now, did this greatly increase technology? Did that play a part in the reason why it was delayed this morning?
Not so much. Part of the reason it was delayed this morning is that space travel is a risky business, and we tend to think of it as being a bit kind of passé now, but it's still very challenging. And so the slightest concern, the slightest second thought, and you put a brake and say, we'll hold. If you're at the airport, we're used to this. You know, if there's a slight issue with the aircraft, they want to check something out, you get a half-hour delay. The problem with things like TESS is that there's only a narrow launch window every day. In fact, there's only 30 seconds per day that we can launch TESS in to get it onto the right orbit.
Wow.
So as soon as you've delayed, you've got to wait a day or two for the next launch window. So this was fairly routine. It was the equivalent of you being at the airport and hearing the horrific announcement of, oh, well, we've got a 15-minute delay because the pilot just wants to check some paperwork. It's that kind of level rather than, oh, no, doom has been averted. It was going to be a catastrophe.
Oh,
just
sure.
Dot the I's, cross the T's, and make absolutely sure. Because once you press go and once that giant firework's on its way, you can't bring it back.
That's true. So they're being coupled with the SpaceX partnership with Elon Musk. Is that important? Is his work, you know, playing such a huge part in bringing these projects to life nowadays?
I think it's a sign of where the future is going. Because the great thing that SpaceX are bringing to the table and the other commercial launch partners is that the cost to launch things to space is falling dramatically. That's the real economic thing of it. As soon as you make things a business proposition rather than them being so cutting edge that only governments can do it, it becomes competitive and the costs tumble in terms of the launch capacity, which makes much more science affordable and doable. And this is the first step in that way. So I'd see longer term that we will move more and more to commercial launch capacity because it just drops the cost to launch the thing, which means either you get a cheaper mission and you can do more missions for the same cost, or you can invest that money in making a better spacecraft for the same cost. Either way, you win.
So, and talking about everybody winning, people here at USQ, the more missions they launch, the more data they discover, USQ and students and even professors like you are going to benefit. So what are you going to gain from it?
Well, we're pretty closely involved in this, actually. We're almost partnering with NASA.
Wow.
Is probably the way I'd describe it. We have a government grant topped up by funds from USQ and from partners, and we're using that to build a facility up at Mount Kent Observatory just outside Toowoomba that's a multi-million dollar dedicated observatory to follow up the discoveries TESS makes. So TESS will tell us, we think there is a planet here, but to confirm it, you need to do follow-up. You need to rule out a few other things and you need to get more data. That's the role we're going to be fulfilling. So to some degree, we're going to be confirming what TESS thinks is there, but we'll also be using that facility to learn more about the planets that it finds, to learn what they could be made of, how massive they are, which tells us the density, and maybe even learn more about whether there are other planets in those systems that TESS hasn't found because of the short time it spends viewing any given system. We'll be doing the follow-up and the grunt work, and it's really exciting. We've got a couple of PhD students on campus that are going to be working directly with these results, and I'm sure we'll be getting more over the coming years. It's going to be a long, ongoing, exciting mission.
So what's the dream? I think everyone thinks that, oh, wow, we're going to have the next Earth. But is it, at this stage, just expanding horizons and just learning about the universe, or is it finding, my God, we have to find a new planet to live on?
It steps along the road to figuring out if we're alone in the universe. That's how I'd pitch it. So I grew up in a world where we didn't know if the solar system was the only planetary system out there. We didn't know of any other planet around stars. And over the last 20-odd years, we've gone through this revolution where we now know that planets are essentially ubiquitous. They're everywhere. What we're learning with TESS is the next step along the road, which is how unique or not the Earth is. Planets like the Earth, are they common or are they unusual? Further down the line, in maybe 5 or 10 years, we get the next generation of space telescopes that can follow up on TESS. And actually, if we find planets that could potentially be like the Earth, could potentially be habitable, we can study them in more detail to find out if they actually are or not. Now, these are so far away that with current technology, we couldn't travel to them. But it's still important to understand that context of our place in the cosmos and also to better understand how planets form, how planetary systems come to be, and whether, like I say, whether life is common or rare.
A very exciting time, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a fabulous time to be alive, and it's so really exciting to be able to be properly involved with this. If you told me as an 8-year-old fascinated by astronomy that I'd be involved in searching for planets around other stars, I'd have fallen over in shock. It would have been brilliant.
I think it's great. So thanks
yeah,
for your
living
time.
The dream.
Thanks for your time today, Professor Horner. And here's hoping for a safe and successful launch and not too much of a delay so you can get on with it.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, so the new launch date is Thursday morning, 8:51 a.m.
Okay.
Our time in Queensland.
All right.
If it gets postponed then it might be Friday or Saturday, and it'll keep getting nudged back until the rocket finally goes. And then about 2 months, wait, and we'll start getting data.
Well, let's hope they make that 30-second window.
Yep, fingers crossed.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your time.